Yes, yes, yes. It's that time again for Kingdom Building. Coming at you here, 12 o'clock noon on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody sing righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
WAIF is a community radio station that serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. And thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. Hopefully we don't have any issues like we had last week.
Hopefully.
Anyway, God bless you, Cincinnati. So glad that you're with us today. We're going to kind of continue our discussion on the finished work of Christ. And there's just so much to talk about. So we're going to kind of just start with that. And I just feel there's a lot more that we didn't touch upon that we can touch upon today. And plus, I wanted to hear Brother Oscar's take on it and see what his thoughts are. But, the last three words Jesus said on this earth before he died and was buried and resurrected from the dead. He spoke a lot after he was resurrected, didn't he? 40 days he walked the earth, so he had a lot to say. Yeah. He didn't have to say much. Just being there was enough, but he had a lot of wonderful things to say. So the last three words that he spoke before he gave up the ghost is, "It is finished." What does that mean? Of course, it's simple. It is finished. When a project's finished, it's finished. That's right. If you're going to paint a house, you don't leave a wall that's not painted and then you lay down your paintbrush and say, well, this job's finished. It's not finished. It's finished, it's finished. Right. And he didn't say, I am finished, which would be like, I think we've all said that before, when we just reach our end of our rope, we go, I'm done, I'm done with this job, or I'm done with this person, or I'm done with whatever, he didn't say that. No, he did not say that. That would be implying that he died defeated or whatever, but he did say it is finished, which is really, that was a cry of victory. He wasn't leaving anything unfinished. It was all finished. And the shed blood had done exactly what it was supposed to do. And even in Hebrews 4:3, it says, For we which have believed do enter into rest. That's a good thing, If you believe, you can enter into that rest. It's your choice if you don't, but you can. And it says, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Wow. Brother, that's a powerful, powerful scripture right there. Mm-hmm. So basically, we're going to continue what we started last week. I'm getting feedback. Are you getting anything?
I don't know.
If you can hear it. You can't hear
it? Can't hear it out here.
Good. And also, I want to say this, that some people had contacted us after the pro... Is it? You're getting feedback? We're going to move to the other room. Okay, we apologize. I don't know where it's coming from, but somehow it's coming through again. So we'll move to the other side, and
it's just
spirit periodically. Okay, while we get ready here, I'm just going to finish what I was going to say, and then you can get over there, and then Mike, you can get over there, and we can finish it. But okay, stay tuned. But anyway, last week we had some people say they tried like heck to get in on the telephone lines and could not get in. So we're going to make the call. Mike's going to make a call and see if he can get on, and if so, then we're good shape. If not, we'll see what we need to do to fix it. But just bear with us just for a second here. I'm going to play the music one more time, and we're going to switch so that you can hear nice, clean airwaves here. So
righteousness, peace, and joy.
Okay, let's see if that's better. Margaret, tell us if that's better. So, so anyway, we're talking today about the finished work, and we're going to check and make sure the phone lines are available to you. I know Clyde and Josh, if you're listening, God bless you. We love you. I know they had tried to call in the whole hour, and so sorry that you weren't able to do so. Anyway, we're back to finishing up. Maybe we won't finish it up, but we're back to talking again about the finished work of Christ. And when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he meant it was finished in the past, it is still finished in the present, and it will remain finished in the future. So guess what? It's a finished work. There's nothing more that Jesus needed to do to fulfill that which he was called to do. And that's a wonderful thing. And so we just need to start walking in it and becoming it and letting that finished work happen in us. That's the key. The whole key is we are the temple of God, and he wants to finish his temple. And that's making sure that he is everything and we are nothing. We are basically housing the Holy Spirit of God, and his Holy of Holies now resides in our innermost being. So anyway, you got a microphone there, Brother Oscar?
Yes.
See if...
is it working?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, Rich, a lot of times when we talk about the finished work, a lot of people are looking for a lot of things to happen. But, you know, God had purposed from the very beginning, before this earth was even created, it tells you that Jesus Christ was crucified, you know, literally before the earth was even created. So God already had that in his plans, that he would come and redeem mankind. And, you know, the finished work is that God's in control of everything. He's a sovereign God. We have to realize that nothing catches him by surprise and that he knows exactly what's going on. You know, if it's all right, I'd like to read a scripture here from Ephesians, the first chapter.
Yeah, go ahead.
And, you know, if you want to study a little bit about what God's purposes are, read Ephesians, the first chapter. And it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Wait a minute. Before the foundation of the world?
That's what it says.
You mean he already knew what that we were going to be? This is not just talking about Paul. This is talking about all Christians. And, you know, according as he had chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And listen to this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having, and I love this, now listen to this, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth.
You didn't
even
say all,
in him,
did you?
All things.
You said all?
That's all. That's all right. It. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, you know, years ago the Lord started dealing with me about the sovereignty of God. And if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, then that, how many's all things? That's all things, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And you know, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and Scripture says that he's not willing that any should perish, guess what that means? Think about
that's
that one.
It says.
It is what it says. That's right. But, you know, I love that Scripture because it's a powerful Scripture. And Ephesians, the first chapter, when I was a real young Christian, when I read that, that he worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that just jumped off the page at me. And I began to realize that God was in control, and he was in perfect control, and that he's got it all worked out. Whether we feel like it's worked out or not, he's got it all worked out. And you might feel like you chose him, which you did, but he chose you long before you ever chose him.
Just let me just jump in real quick, folks. Okay. Just a little housekeeping note. If you want to join in the conversation, it's 513-961-8900 and hit one. Okay, so this time your calls should get through, unlike last week. So if you have any comments, you need prayer, whatever, please give us a call at that number. I'll give it one more time. It's 513-961-8900. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. But you know, when you come to realize what it says there in Ephesians, it says a lot of things right there. You know, we've been adopted into the very family circle of God, you know. And you know, when you adopt somebody, you know what you do? You give them your name. You give them your name. And I got news for you, folks. He's given you his name.
Amen.
He said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. And I got news for you, folks. That's a glorious thing. And this is part of just fulfilling what he said in Genesis when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. But man has been walking way below what God intended for him. And there's coming a time when they're going to come to the realization of who and what they are in Christ. And you know, I long to see that day completely when it comes to the full fruition of it.
So would you say that if we're living maybe in a lower realm than we need to live in,
yeah,
is it because of trust issues? Is it because of surrender issues? Is it a combination of things? I mean, you know, I know that there's a lot of willing people out there that mm-hmm. want all that God has to offer them and wants that fullness of Christ in their lives to a point where, you know, the Lord says, or Jesus said to the Father, Father, make them one with me as you are with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the recipe? What do we need to do to enjoy that fullness of life that he's so richly given us by his grace?
Well, I think a lot of that can be explained if you read Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where we come to the realization that there's one God, one faith, one baptism, one Father of us all, you know. And
who has the ultimate power of
has the ultimate everything. Power over everything. And it tells us in there that we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if and what that really means, keeping the unity of the Spirit, means that we begin to say, Lord, I want to be in union with you. I want to be in agreement with you. Father, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to have preconceived ideals and notions about everything that's in the Scriptures or whatever, but I'm going to ask you to be the teacher, like the, you know, the Holy Spirit was sent to teach and lead and guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. And then if you go on a little farther, he says he's given these ministries, and that's part of what we're doing here today, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I mean, that's the building up. Mm-hmm. And we're building you guys up today, if you'll listen to what we say here. And
we're building ourselves up.
That's right, absolutely. Because you never build anybody else up without building yourself up.
Yeah. And that's not in a arrogant, pompous way. That's in a Christ-like way.
And it says there in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, until we come into the unity of the faith, the oneness of the faith. And, you know, the word, you know, you said that when Jesus prayed, he said, Father, I pray that they would be one. That word in the Greek there is means one, but it also means abundantly man. And the abundant man was Jesus Christ, yes, because he was God standing in the image and likeness of a man.
Amen.
And I got news for you. That's where he desires us to be as we come into the revelation of who and what we are in Christ and what he has intended for us from the foundation of the world. It hasn't changed what he said in Genesis about let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. And we have to realize that the fulfillment of that was Jesus Christ.
Yes, it was.
He was the first, the last Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And, you know, some of these scriptures that we quote to you, write them down, look them up, read them, pray about them. Ask God reveal the truth of this scripture to me. And I tell you what, he'll knock your socks clean off.
Amen.
Well,
we're going to give you some right now. So these are just some things I wrote down that, you know, I believe that when you believe totally in the finished work, this is what you get. And we don't do things. We don't believe. We don't have faith in the Lord to get things.
No.
But we get them anyway.
Right.
And they're wonderful.
Yes.
And one of them is just the word forgiveness.
Right.
I mean, it was very clear that the Lord said that, he will reconcile all things to himself, not in putting their trespasses against them. So guess what? He has forgiven you of all your sins.
Right.
I don't care what any televangelist or radio evangelist, whatever. I don't care what anybody says. If you're in Christ, your sins have been not even wiped out. They're not even there anywhere. Yeah. Never was there.
Right.
Okay? So that's a huge one. But then now it says, you know, after John the Baptist says, here comes the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, guess what? We have to then, if we're going to operate in that fullness of Christ and that finished work, then we're going to have to forgive.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's a must. It's not a suggestion. It's something that we have to do. And there's people listening right now that says, well, you have no clue what was done to me, and I'm never going to forgive that person. Okay. And that's some deep hurt there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced it before. Total, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think of the word, but someone you trusted that you can't trust or whatever. But anyway, my point in all this is this. We are to, since he says that I am not going to put your trespasses against you, we have to not input others' trespasses against us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge thing. How, you know, how many people have said, I'll never forgive that person that now forgives them?
That's right.
Because they now started operating in that finished work of Christ. Because they're weak. He's strong.
Right.
And the only way we can forgive, if the hurt is very, very deep, sometimes it's through time, and sometimes it's just through trusting in him that if we just do what he tells us to do, it's mm-hmm. going to be the best life possible for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is the abundant life. If your life isn't abundantly blessed right now, it's probably because you haven't received the blessings that God's given you mm-hmm. through that finished work. And John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So what that tells me is you can operate in that first realm,
mm-hmm.
which is a much, much lower realm
yes.
than the realm that he was saying, hey, you know, yeah, this could happen, whatever, but it doesn't have anything on me because I am believing in that abundant life that's been given to me, and in the abundant life, none of that stuff has any impact on you. It's just, you know, your focus is on Jesus, and your focus is, and that's the abundant life. It's not necessarily Cadillacs in the garage. It's not, I mean,
right.
you know, yeah, he wants to bless us. In some cases, we need the financial blessing. But it's so much more than that. All that's temporal. He wants to do eternal things in us.
Amen.
You know, when you were at the very beginning, when Oscar was saying about the confusion, you know, why people are walking below they are. You know, here's what I think. You know, there are a lot of people out there who know God or think they know God, but they don't understand God. They don't understand who he is, and therefore they don't have their complete trust in him. And if we believe what we were talking last week, you asked a question last week, what does the finished work mean to you? And I said it, the fulfillment of all the promises.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we really believe in the fulfillment of all the promises, we're going to receive the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to receive blessings whether we do or not, but I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying to you is the more trust you have in the Lord is what the finished work is all about. Because the more you trust in the Lord, the more the promises become clear, and the more peace you have in your life.
I mean, let's break it down to this, Mike. I think this is kind of what you're saying in common everyday terms. Man, if you're walking around and all you're doing is complaining, all you're doing is, oh, man, you know, that guy over there, he sure has it made. You know, if I wish he'd walk a mile in my shoes and see what it's like, you know. If you're having pity parties all the time, it's time to stop. We've all done it. I know I've done it. And there's times I catch myself and I go,
I still do it.
I go, I know. There's times I catch myself and I go, what the heck are you doing, man? You are so blessed that you should never ever grumble or complain or gripe about anything. You know, you just shouldn't do it. And so the bottom line is, how are you walking this thing out each day? Do you start the day with talking to the Lord? I mean, I try to start every day before my feet even hit the floor talking to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what you have in store today, but guess what? You know, you work all things out after the counsel of your will. So guess what? Whatever happens, if I don't like it, it doesn't matter because you're going to use that for my good. You're going to bring
that
out as a part of your will to perfect me and to bring about the completion of the work he started in me. So, you know, if you're dealing with stuff at work, if you're dealing with stuff in your family, whatever, praise the Lord. Just praise him because what he's doing is he's working it all out in you so that you will be in a position where some of this stuff isn't going to matter to you anymore. You're just going to kind of water off a duck's back, and you're going to just move on down in love and be gracious to everybody and just let that glory of the Lord shine through from you to everybody you come in contact with. And it's easier said than done. I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, you know, I do it every day. No, I mean, I try every day to start out with the Lord and get my mind in the right place before I even put my feet on the floor.
You know, that's interesting you said that, Rich. This morning I was sitting on my deck doing my reading and stuff this morning, and I was just looking around, and all I could think of is, man, how blessed I am to have what I have. I don't have to have all that. You know, I could be fine with a whole lot less. I believe.
But you're not talking just material stuff.
But yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
that's temporal.
But you know, and it's funny. I mean, listen to you talk, and it comes back to the last song that Brother Jefferson plays.
Yeah.
Every day,
yeah.
Every week. You didn't have to wake me this morning. I thank the Lord every day. Thank you, Lord, for giving me one more day.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
When you get to be up in our years, you want to thank him every day.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking, Rich, I was thinking about this poem that the Lord gave me years ago. And so many times when we were looking at other people, and we're thinking, oh, Lord, how come they can do this, or they did that to me, or I, you know, what, so on, you know, that kind of thing. And the Lord gave me this poem, and it goes like this. It seems that man is always talking about himself. He talks about his good deeds, and he talks about his wealth. He talks about the wonderful things that he has said and done, but he talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shun. It seems that man can see the fault in everyone around, but he can't see his own reflection. It's nowhere to be found. Oh, that God would open our eyes that we might truly see that we're no better than our neighbor, whoever our neighbor might be, and help us learn to look at ourselves before we judge any other, and know that in the eyes of God, that one is even our brother. And you know, when you realize that Jesus took the sins of the world, and He basically, I don't care what you've done, you've already been forgiven if you'll receive that forgiveness. And, you know, even when he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Right.
And you know what? You know what the Father did? He forgave them. He forgave them because, you know, Jesus asked him to. And I got news for you. He's forgiven you. You don't have to walk in that condemnation. And when somebody's done something wrong to you, if you will pray for those that despitefully use you, the scriptures say, that'll heap coals of fire upon their head. You know, that's not to destroy them. That's the coals of fire off of the altar of God. And you know what that does? That begins to bring cleansing into their life and purification. And you know, if we'd just come to the realization that a lot of times, no matter what somebody's done to you, a lot of times if you'll be good to them that despitefully use you, you'll find out that God will turn around a lot of times and turn that person completely around before it's all over with. And they might even come back and apologize for what they've done to you in the past. And sometimes people do things to you and they don't even realize that they've done it. You know what I mean? Because they're walking on that lower plane. But I tell you what, if we'll just ask the Lord, Lord, let me show love to my brothers and my sisters out there. And you say, well, you know, Oscar, that guy don't seem like my brother. Well, he is according to the Word of God. Who is your neighbor? Who is your brother? You know, everybody that you come in contact with. You know, one time years ago, I was reading a book, and it was written by Jimmy Carter. And, you know, Jimmy Carter is a good Christian man. He loves God, and he's out doing a lot of good for people and doing the best he can do. I mean, whether you liked him as a president or not, it doesn't make any difference. But he's a good man. You know, he teaches Sunday school every Sunday. And he said that there was this one evangelist that he admired so much. And he said, I asked him, I said, what is your secret? You know, because this guy just seemed like he he was a really good man, and he, you know, did all the things that he should do. And the guy told him, he said, "My secret is I love the one that's standing in front of me." Mm-hmm. Yeah. And boy, I tell you what, it's hard to be mean to somebody you love.
That's for sure.
And you know what? I believe that that's what Jesus wants us to do, to look at somebody, and even if it's somebody that we're having a hard time loving, say, "Lord, please give me a love for that person. Let me love them with the love of God." Because God, if Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
Mm-hmm.
If he loved the world like that, and God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, then who are we to input their trespasses? You know, he doesn't input ours, so we can't input other people's. We have to begin to forgive them.
That's right. Amen. Okay, you're listening to Kingdom Building here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati, and this is every Wednesday from 12 to 1, Kingdom Building's on the air, so make sure you stay with us each and every week. And God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. If you do want to join the program, or if you have a prayer request, you never have to give your name unless you want to. But if you have a prayer request, you have a comment, you have a testimony, give us a call at 513-961-8900 and hit 1. Right, Mike? We're going to take a break here.
Okay, 70% of Americans have experienced a life-threatening accident or violent assault. Later, nearly 20% of these survivors experience recurring memories, have difficulty concentrating or sleeping. These are the symptoms of PTSD, which is a treatable condition. For more information, call 802-296-6300 or go to www.ptsdinfo.org. The Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County features an expanded list of reading programs for both the children and adults. The four main categories events are book discussion groups, regularly scheduled story times for children, children's special programs, and adult teen special programs. For more information about events, call the main library or any of the other 41 branches at 513-369-6900 or www.cincinnatilibrary.org. And remember to join Vince Morton and friends every Friday morning from 5 to 8 a.m. for the best in recorded gospel music and prayer. Take a few minutes to call your friends and neighbors and tell them to tune into the Vince Morton Gospel Hour on WAIF 88.3.
Okay, again, you're listening to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. I'd like for everyone to pray for my daughter. She's on the way to the emergency room. I don't know exactly what the problem is. She did have an operation, gallbladder removed about 4 weeks ago, and I don't know if there's any complications there or something else. But anyway, please pray for Rachel.
Yes.
Thank you. So we're talking today, if you just tuned in, we're talking about the abundant life, basically the finished work. When Jesus was on the cross, last three words he said before he passed on the cross was, "It is finished." Basically, everything that he was supposed to accomplish, he accomplished it all. And John 17 says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So, you know, even in the garden, Jesus sat there and said, "Lord, if this cup could pass," nevertheless, with God, it's nevertheless, with God, it's always the more, you know. And so Jesus got strengthened in his inner man and said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So another aspect of believing and living in that finished work is the peaceful life. I mean, how many people are without peace today? I mean, there's myriads of people out there that would give anything to have some peace in their life. I mean, everything's crazy. Everything's, you know, work's crazy, family life's crazy, everything's crazy. And to just have a little bit of peace, it would be a wonderful thing. Well, listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says, finally, brethren, I like it, finally. Yeah, once you've done it all yourself, and once you come to the end of yourself, then you can say this, finally. Mm-hmm. I've had enough. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Wow. Paul's saying be perfect?
Mm.
Wow. Be of good comfort. We'll take some of that too.
Mm-hmm.
Be of one mind. I don't think there's an accident in the order that this is in. I don't believe that there's an accident at all. In order to be able to operate in the finished work of Christ, we have to understand that God sees us as perfect. That's our identity. Don't believe the mistaken identity that we're still dirty, rotten sinners, because that's not the way the Lord sees us.
That's right.
It says, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Wow. What a novel idea. If we live in peace, we're going to have more peace. What's living in peace? Just what we've been saying. We've been talking about loving your neighbor. We've been talking about loving those that are unlovely and they're difficult to love. We got to love them anyway. The Bible even says, love your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But if you do that, guess what? What you're sowing out there, you're reaping. And that's, mm-hmm. you're sowing love and peace, and you're reaping love and peace.
That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
He is worthy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Let's pray. Anybody want to take over and pray a little bit?
I can if you want me to.
Okay.
Father, in Jesus' name right now, that name above all names, we come into your presence right now, Lord, and we just ask you to just minister through these radio waves here today, Father.
Yes, yes.
You are the God of love, Father, because your word declares, for God so loved the world. And the world is everything in it. And Father, I just ask you right now, if there's one out there who feels unloved today, that your love would just touch their heart right now. Let them feel that anointing. Let them feel that love that you have for them. Just take them in your arms right now. Lord, I was sitting in McDonald's a while back, and I saw this woman, and she was sitting there, and she just looked so troubled. And Father, in Jesus' name right now, I pray even for her, Lord. I pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit and just minister. She just had such a look of distress on her face. And Father, for anyone out there that has that distressed feeling today, Father, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the mighty God. And right now we acknowledge you. We ask you to move and just minister to hearts out there. And we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for whatever you do by your sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God.
If you want to join, and let's say that you prayed with Brother Oscar that prayer and you felt a release or whatever, just give us a call. Just tell us that you're listening and that you're being blessed. Lord is doing the blessing. It's not us. And that's 961-8900, and hit the number one. Hit the number one. To go on this peaceful life thing, I mean, didn't the Lord provide us fruit of the Spirit?
Yeah.
Guess what one of them is?
Yeah.
Peace,
yeah.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 20, it says, and having made peace, how do you make peace? Through the blood of the cross. That's what it says. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him, who's him? Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say. whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you know what? If Jesus is good at reconciling all things to himself, mm-hmm. we need to be those ministers of reconciliation That's to right. all those that we come in contact with. And what are we reconciling them to? To Jesus. To Jesus. So, you know, you're pointing the way to the Lord, and you're basically helping them and ushering them into the presence of the Lord, which is, you know, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. I think we all could use a little joy. I mean, it's just, this life is not the easiest to live out each and every day. I mean, we are challenged, we're pressed in on both sides. But you know what? The Lord says, don't think it's strange when this stuff happens. Don't sit there and say, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve? No. Just say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Lord, how do what you have to do, Lord, to bring me to where you want me? Because anywhere else is not where I want to be. I want to be right where you want me, Lord, today, tomorrow, and the next day. I want to progress, and I want to become exactly what you want me to become.
You know, in John, the 14th chapter, verse 27, and this is out of the New Living Translation. I like the way it says it here. He said, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift of peace of mind and heart.
That's good.
And the peace I give you is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid.
Yeah.
And you know,
a lot of fear out there.
A lot of people feel troubled today. But I'm going to tell you what: if you invite the Lord to come in and be Lord and Savior of your life, He already is. Yes. All you got to do is just open the door.
Acknowledge it.
That's right. And if you do that, I'm going to tell you what: He'll begin to bring that peace that passes understanding. And you'll find, even in the midst when there's tribulation around you, mm-hmm. that God can give you peace. And it'll be peace that passes understanding. People won't understand it, and you won't even understand it, other than that you know that it's the Lord giving it to you. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, that's a wonderful place to be at, folks. And He is the Prince of Peace. And just like when He was out in the boat and with the disciples, and the storms came and everything went on, He was laying up in the bow of the boat sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up and woke Him up and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And He said to them, oh, you of little faith. They didn't realize who was in the boat with them. God was.
That's right.
And He said, He rose up and said, peace be still. And the storm stopped, and they were instantly where they were going. And you know what? He can say, peace be still in any situation in your life today. I don't care what it is. He is that Prince of Peace, and He will touch your life if you'll just call on His name. And I tell you what, you'll be so glad that you did.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. That's correct. That is correct. I'm going to read this. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ will also bring you a life of freedom and not free doom.
That's right.
Free doom. So many people think a life without Jesus is freedom. I can do whatever I want. I can mm-hmm. say whatever I want. I can whatever I... No, that's free doom.
Yeah.
Freedom, well, I'll just read these, okay? And then you can take it for however you take it. In Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day. Well, folks, this is that day.
Amen.
Okay, this is not some day in the sweet by and by. This is now. So I'm going to reword this and say, and it shall come to pass now that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and His yoke from off thy neck. Do you feel like you're being choked sometimes because you got that yoke around your neck?
Amen.
And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Yes.
Folks, there's an anointing here. And if there's an anointing here, there's an anointing where you are right now.
Yes.
And those yokes, they have to go. And if you're feeling choked and you're feeling trapped and you're feeling whatever, right there. Call on Isaiah 10:27. Call on the Lord to bring this to pass, that that yoke be taken off of your neck, and that it be destroyed. Not just taken off of the neck, be destroyed so it can't go back on it.
Yes, amen.
You know, and then Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." What's it done?
It's made me free.
It's made me free from the law of sin and death. Yes. If you're operating in the law of sin and death, you're not free.
That's right.
You're not free. And anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm sorry. You may totally disagree with me, but you are definitely not free. The only freedom is in Christ.
Amen.
That's it. It's only in Christ. In Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin. You want to be made free from sin?
Yep.
Jesus. That's the answer. That's
right.
The answer for everything. Ye became the servants of righteousness. So guess what? When you're free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness.
That's
and
right.
What a wonderful thing that is.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Well, you know, when you realize, folks, that he loves you with an everlasting love.
Yes.
He's not a God that's afar off. He's as close to you as a silent prayer, even. And when you ask him to come into your life, he's going to come.
Yes, he is.
And when he comes, your life is going to begin to change. And you know, a lot of people tell themselves, "Well, I can't be a Christian because I can't change." You don't have to change. He will change you.
That's right.
And he will gradually begin to change you as you walk with him. And I tell you what, the more you walk with him, the more your life will enter a realm of peace and a realm of rest and everything else. And it's just one of those situations to where you don't have to do a lot other than just trust him, ask him, what would you have me do today? Be obedient to what you feel like he tells you to do. It's really pretty simple, and so a lot of people make it very complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I don't know if I could quit this, or I don't know if I could quit that. I'm gonna tell you what, right before I gave my life to the Lord, you know, I was a smoker, and I smoked, you know, and I was a pretty heavy smoker. I was smoking about a pack and a half of cigarettes a day, almost two packs a day. And you know, I had tried to quit smoking I don't know how many times, and I could not quit smoking. And I was standing, working in a machine shop, and I was standing at my machine one day having chest pains because I had bronchitis and stuff, and I was smoking still. And I had just bought a brand new pack of cigarettes, and I said, "Lord, please help me quit smoking. I can't quit smoking. I can't do it in my own strength." And you know what? I never smoked another cigarette after that. God lifted that off of me. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a drug addict today, because I'm going to tell you, they say that smoking is about as addictive as being a drug addict, or maybe even worse sometimes. It's a harder habit to kick. But I tell you what, I don't care what your habits are today or what's bothering you today, if you'll say, "Lord, please help me. I can't do this on my own."
Mm-hmm.
And you'll invite him to come in. I tell you what, that anointing can break the yoke. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the yoke is. I don't care how strong it is around you. God can break that off of you today. And Father, in Jesus' name right now, yes. I'm speaking to anybody out there that feels they have that yoke. In the name of Jesus, I claim that they've been set free if they'll just receive that freedom, because you love them with an everlasting love. And whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. And Father, in Jesus' name right now, I ask that your anointing just break those yokes. And I give you the praise and I give you the glory. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord.
You know, I've seen that. Up close and personal in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were talking about, Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you give it over to the Lord and take it out of your hands.
Right.
It's an amazing, amazing thing what he can do.
Right.
And it's, you know, I was reading this morning, I was reading all my stuff this morning, and every every one was the same thing. Let go and let God, and let Him take control and find out what peace you're going to have in your life.
Amen.
And I read about five different books. Every one of them had the same thing.
Same thing. You know, I read earlier about, in Hebrews 4:3, about entering into His rest, and what a wonderful thing that is. But let me just tell you the definition of that word rest. It's, of course, common sense would tell you it's the resting place. It's where God lives. He lives in us.
Amen.
If you invited a guest to stay at your house for the weekend, you don't want to bring that guest into a house of turmoil and contentiousness and strife and everything else. You want to bring that person into a peaceful, loving, caring house. Well, you know, if God's going to live in us, we need to provide a nice place for Him to live, you know? But at the rest, there's a metaphor that it said in the Strong's Concordance. It's for the word rest. It says, the heavenly blessedness in which God dwells and of which He has promised to make persevering believers in Christ partakers after the toils and trials of life on earth are ended. Wow.
Amen.
And the root word to that rest is cease and desist. Whenever a law comes down, some attorney, and you get something in the mail that says cease and desist, what do you think that means?
Stop.
There's some things in our life we need to cease and desist from. You know, and if we cease and desist, then we're not doing it of our own power anymore. We're going to let God, like Mike said, let go of our power and take on His power, because our power is a joke.
It's nothing.
His power is awesome in every way. But I just love that metaphor that they use in that word rest, the heavenly blessedness in which God dwells and of which He has promised to make persevering believers in Christ partakers. Be a persevering believer, because this is what you get, you know, in Christ, partakers after these toils and trials of life on earth are ended. He's got a great, I'm telling you, everybody that's listening to our voices today, He's got a plan and purpose for your life. I don't care if you've ever acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior or not. He has a plan and purpose for your life. And the only way you're going to miss it is if you miss Him.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
I just thank the Lord that He dwells in me.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, because I tell you what, that's such a comforting feeling.
Yep.
To know that He dwells in me.
Yes.
And you know, and that's not to be braggadocious or anything like that. I just believe that the Lord is in me, and I believe that, just like Rich said, He's got a plan for me.
Yep.
And you know, I want to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I want to get out of the way, because once I'm in the way, nothing. I mean, it's just like, you know, like the old detour, you know, you never know where you're going to go.
No matter how good you think you are.
Well, there's none good but God.
I know. Yeah. No matter how well you think you're able to handle your life, let me tell you.
It just reminds me of last year when my wife and I were going to Florida, and we got down to Knoxville, and I-75 was closed.
Oh, boy.
And they were routing everybody off I-75, and nobody knew where they were going, how to get back on. Mm. You know, that's what your life can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're riding around in circles, not understanding where you're going to go.
Yep. You don't want to take the off-ramp to life when Jesus has you on the, what's that left lane, the passing lane,
yeah,
or whatever, the speed lane.
Speed lane,
you know?
Yeah.
Guess what? You're going to get
the carpool
there,
lane.
Yeah. You're going to get there much quicker if you take that lane than if you take the slow lane, or you take the off ramp.
That's right. You know, in John 16:33, and this is out of the Amplified Bible, it said, I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace.
Yes.
In the world you have tribulations and distresses and sufferings, but be of courage, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world.
Yep.
And you know, he not only overcame the world, but he overcame it for you.
Yes.
For you. And when you come to that realization that he's done all of these things for you, you know, then that's a wonderful, that's
yes,
a wonderful
is.
Revelation when you come to that full
yeah.
revelation of that.
Sure.
He's did all of these things for you.
Amen.
And he loves you individually more than words can even say.
That's
I mean,
right.
you know, we could sit here and talk about a lot of different words, but I tell you what, he loves you with an everlasting love, and he loved you before the foundation of the world, like we were talking about originally, you know. And, you know, if you'll just trust in him and turn toward him, you'll find that your life will get turned around, and boy, you'll have a it'll make a huge difference. You'll have a way, way better life than what you've got right now if you don't know him. I'll tell you that.
I have a friend of mine who Kathy and I were talking about it this morning.
Yeah.
His thing, you know, his thing he says all the time now is somebody cuts him off or somebody does something, you know, he just says, that's okay. They're one of the king's children.
There you go. There you go. That's a good one. That's a good way of looking at it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yes, we are. And
right.
we need to be patient with people. I mean, you know, if your whole life is sitting there saying, well, I'm going to live my life with high expectations of all other people, you're going to be disappointed all the time because you know what? No one's going to be able to live up to your expectations
right.
of them. There's no way. And so if you're going to try to hold people to a higher level or whatever than you should, you're the one that's going to suffer. You're the one that's going to have to deal with it. So, you know, just love people where they are. Realize that we're all, you know, we all haven't reached perfection yet. It hasn't manifested in us yet. I mean, God's put it in us to be perfect, but the manifestation hasn't occurred yet.
I'm not perfect. That's kind of a revelation.
Is that a major revelation to you? Yes. Well,
we're going to ask Kathy if you're perfect
yeah.
or not. We'll find out.
I guarantee you, I know Kathy, and she'll set you straight.
She'll tell you exactly what I am.
She'll set you straight. Okay, so Cincinnati, we are out of here. God bless you. Stay tuned for Tara Robinson and The Ultimate Risk. God bless you.
peace in the kingdom.